This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. It is Lee Chui Lin and my guest host today, Lau Chia On, who is editor of Chili Sauce. Coming up, we'll be talking about creating social impact through business and how youths can get involved. And of course, you can join the conversation. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. All this coming your way on the evening edition.
BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
It is 6:05 in the evening. You're with Lin and Chuck, and today we're talking about creating social impact through business and how more Malaysian youth can get involved.
And to help us with that is Ahmad Farid, CEO of Impact Malaysia, a government agency that wants to make Malaysian businesses more sustainable and focus more on social impact. Also joining the conversation is Anja Julia Abubakar, founder of Athena Empowers. She'll be offering her perspective on starting and running a social enterprise in Malaysia. Ahmed, Anja, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
So first things first, if you have any questions, whether it is about social enterprise or whether it's about getting Malaysian youths involved in our business landscape, of course, you can call us 7733 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. Ahmed, maybe we'll start with you. What does Impact Malaysia do?
First things first, thank you so much for having me here. It's an honour. Very quickly, so Impact Malaysia is an initiative that focuses on social innovation, social impact, and it's youth-driven.
Right, okay.
Okay, so we actually found out that Impact was actually formerly known as I Am For You. Mm-hmm. So why was there a need to rebrand into Impact?
Okay. So technically, we were not only known as I'm For You. At the time when I came in, we were actually known as Volunteer Malaysia.
Right.
So simply put, the reason as to why there is a need to change it from a business standpoint is because there is a shift of priorities and focus. So in the past, I'm For You or even Volunteer Malaysia was focusing a lot more on instilling volunteerism. Was a grant-giving body. And now Impact Malaysia no longer give out grant. And our focus is a lot more on social impact with volunteerism embedded with that. If I could just very quickly add on a bit more as to what I mentioned earlier about what Impact Malaysia does, because we have a 3-pronged strategies in which we enable impact, advocate impact, and also to amplify impact. And in doing so, we aspire to become a central player in the third sector ecosystem.
And, you know, Impact sits under the purview of the Youth and Sports Ministry. What sort of support does that afford you? I mean, in real terms, what is it like day to day?
In real term, it means we get funding from KBS. And currently the funding that we receive is primarily on our operational expenses. But looking at the budget, there could be a couple more special funding that we could get. I'm very hopeful of that. And this has a lot to do with, you know, everything under the third sector, which includes, you know, SDG, which includes volunteerism as well to some extent. So a simple answer is that we receive funding from KBS for now. But beyond that, I suppose we also receive, institutional support because coming into the ecosystem as a government agency, it's not as easy, especially when Impact Malaysia now, despite it being known as I Am For You in the past, we are still relatively new. Mm-hmm. So in doing so, a bit more institutional support that we receive from KBS has been great in a way, so that it's easier for us to work with partners, etc.
So maybe you can help our listeners to understand a little bit, but like, what kind of projects would I Am For You have run and what kind of different projects would Impact run today?
Okay, so I'll give you two examples. The first one, like I mentioned earlier about grant giving, yep, for example, which was called Dream Fund, out of which I Am For You would have given, say, 50,000 to a social enterprise and they will run the program as it is and submit a report after. Right now, with regards to giving up funding as a means of resources, Impact Malaysia will not just give up that as a grant, but will be involved in the process as well as a central player. So, for example, if you were to work with Anja and her social enterprise, so what we do is to, pay some, make some expenses and pay for her OPEX rather than just giving out a grant for her to spend and complete her project, for example. And secondly, in the past, they would be instilling volunteerism, as I mentioned earlier. So there'll be a lot of volunteer drive and all that. We will eventually be doing so. But for now, our multiple stakeholder partnership would require us to provide, say, for example, volunteers. And the key here is that we must be volunteers that are that already have similar interests with the projects that potentially Anja would be running. So in that regard, the reason as to why we do that is so that it's easier for us to incentivize the volunteers to be involved in that project, and it's much easier for them to upskill and, you know, subsequently become the agents of change themselves by helping the communities that Anja would like to, you know, contribute towards too.
On that note, Anja, maybe you can tell us a little bit about your business and your enterprise. You know, what is it that you do?
Hi, thank you again for having me here today. And my social enterprise is called Athena Empowers, where we actually produce washable product, which is consists of sanitary pads, baby diaper, and also adult diaper. And started back in since 2009, but we moved to social enterprise model back in July 2015, together with my two new co-founders. So, our social mission is to empower young girls aged 9 to 17 with this menstrual hygiene management program, also puberty education. And there's another program that's called Athena Reach, where we empower female youth, rural female youth with entrepreneurship skills. And we fund this through partnership as well as from the profit we make from the selling of our products.
Right. I have to say that this is a really cool initiative that I think, you know, would not have been easy to start up in a place like Malaysia. So maybe you can tell us a little bit more about that process and how you brought it, like how you got that idea to, I'll do reusable menstrual pads.
Okay. Back in 2007, 2008, where we have a group of mothers in Kuala Lumpur who actually started to use cloth diaper for their baby. I said that this is cool, but do we have something like for sanitary pads? That was one of the reasons why I want to start to be in this business, because sanitary pad is a woman product. A product for women, and back then I was thinking, I would like to become filthy rich doing this. I mean, honestly, that's my selfish reason to be in business. But along the way, when after we won Malaysia Innovation Award for the product that we created, and that's when I was invited by Freda to be in BFM 2011. Oh. And after that, we were actually contacted by a group of missionaries from Sabah, and that's when I learned about girls who miss school when they have their menses. These girls, they don't have access to sanitary pads, and these are the terms we call period poverty. And, curiosity made me actually went to Sabah to investigate further, and because the sanitary pad in East Malaysia maybe cost about $4 or $5. I mean, don't give me that reason for you not to go to school. But in fact, these girls, they actually really don't have that kind of money. For them, that money, they should buy bread that can last for 1 week rather than buying a pet. So, but the turning point is that when I found out that these girls use coconut husk, sabut kelapa, where they stuff in the socks as a substitute to sanitary pad, which is totally unacceptable because hygiene reason, I think this is like too much. And to further from that, there are also a number of drop-up girls that who actually when they use this substitute and somehow it stain their skirt because it cannot hold the period. And And when the other, their friends made fun of them, so they totally macam lari and don't want to come back to school. And when I actually interviewed the parents, especially the mothers, I asked, this girl should go back to school and finish their education. Then the mother said, tak apalah, dah tahu baca, dah tahu tulis, okay lah. Meaning if they already know how to read, how to write, say they don't see any reason why this girl need to go to finish the high school. So for me, being a dropout myself 23 years ago, I see, I mean, I'm self-empowered myself, where I find ways to still continue my studies. But this girl, they said no one going really go there to give them support. So that's why when in January 2013 we started with this girl empowerment program, where we want to run an awareness campaign to keep girls in school. Like, for every pet that we sell, a girl will be sponsored. That's started in 2013.
We're speaking today with Anja Julia Abubakar, founder of Athena Empowers, who you just heard, as well as Ahmed Faris, who is Chief Executive Officer at Impact Integrated. And we're talking today about social enterprise as well as getting youths involved in business. If you have any questions, if you have any thoughts, you can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. All of this, we're going to be continuing this conversation after this. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:17 in the evening with Lynn and Chuck, as well as live in the studio today, Ahmed Faris, Chief Executive Officer at Impact Integrated, and Anja Julia Abubakar, founder of Athena Empowers. And Anja, I just wanted to pick up on something that you were saying before, which was that you feel that it's important to empower girls to continue going to school as a dropout yourself. It's something that's been running through our show this week as we talk about budget and, you know, being able to gain access to business, being able to gain access to grants and loans. And so I was just thinking, you know, when you were looking into starting a business, and also when you made all those different pivots throughout on your journey to becoming filthy rich, where did you go in order to get this information? Who did you speak to? Who were the people that you reached out to in order to get the information that you needed?
Okay, I actually started by inspired by after reading Blue Ocean Strategy, where you can create new business, and cloth pack seems, unique back then, because I don't see anyone selling cloth pad at that time. So I do some research, because I was still working back then with an oil and gas company. And it took me about 6 months just to do some research more on about the fabric. And I found out about organic bamboo, which is good fabric to make washable pad. And then another problem to find the supplier. I can't go direct to factory in China or Korea, because they want us to buy like 1,000 meter, which I can't afford to buy that much, because I need to do validation. But back then, there's no such thing as the word validation or traction. And then I spent 500 ringgit. Finally, after 3 months, I found one supplier from the US. And I buy in small quantity, where from that 500 ringgit, I finally made 37 pieces. Actually, I have no idea. I don't know how to use a sewing machine. So somehow someone connect me to this ex-convict who happened to be, fashion designer, but because of drug, he went to prison. And after leaving the prison, he have no job. So I went to see him, give him the material, ask him to help me, because I've been like meeting few tailors, but they just laugh at me because they said, this is crazy. Who wants to make pad from fabric? But he just keep quiet. He said, okay, come back in a week. So, but after 3 days, he called. He said, you can come. And I was so surprised. It was so beautiful. And that's when I started to call friends, relative, to start, to use the pad. 37 pieces from 500 ringgit, the first capital that I spent. And I told them that, come back to me after 3 months. I need the feedback. But somehow after a month, they all contacted me, that they asked when I can do it commercially, because somehow these are those who suffered from allergic reaction when they use the normal disposable pads. So, and then for the second time, I spent about almost 2,000 ringgit and produced about 57 pieces and 100 something pieces. That's when I started to sell, and officially 30th October 2009 is when I start to sell via Facebook.
Wow, that's amazing. I just need to ask this, actually, because I'm so curious. Like, do you come from a family of entrepreneurs?
No. That's why when I decided to leave my job in 2012, I mean, because I'm already in comfort zone, my mom especially have no idea. She found out only after 2 years because I keep calling her from my mobile. It's not from my office number. So one day she decided to call the office and found out that I'm already left 2 years ago.
Okay, so more on a broader term, like I've always been confused about the differences between sustainable business Mm-mm. and social enterprise
okay.
and why that's actually becoming increasingly important in today's world. Maybe I can open these questions to both of you.
Okay, for me, on my own personal understanding, social sustainable business is about serving the triple bottom line, which is people, planet, and also profit. To me, that's a normal conventional, but they also concerned about people and planet. But social enterprise, they serve quadruple, bottom line, which is people, planet, of course for profit, but with purpose. Mm. So that's how I distinguish between sustainable business as well as social enterprise.
Right. Yep. I'm with you. For me, even more than that, sustainable business is a value proposition, if anything. Mm. And it's not only for social enterprise. And it's true. It's about the three P's earlier. But beyond that, it's about businesses being economically viable, socially responsible, and environmentally friendly. And again, so that's social sustainable business. And social enterprise, for me, by definition, would be a model instead. So it's not too far off to be treated like an entity, be it a Sina Berhad or a limited liability partnership kind of thing, except that that enterprise, while you're making profit, you also will be serving the underserved, you know, as part of your contribution towards the community. And then there was a question, right, about why it's becoming, you know...
Where is this trend coming from? Like, why is it becoming increasingly important? Because we're hearing so much more about it, you know, in the last 5 to 10 years okay. compared to before that.
Right.
Today, globally, we have socially conscious consumer, where 63% of them are young consumer, which are below 40 years of age. So these are the group of young consumers who are more socially driven. I mean, they want to be part of that cause. So I think that's the reason why it has been like increased recently.
I agree. And for me, that's a bottom-up approach in a way in which the initiative has been a lot more lauded by a bottom-up, but, you know, using a bottom-up approach in a way because the youth, the social enterprises themselves are talking a lot more about it, and more people, we're having more conversations, more forums, etc. So that's a reason why as to, you know, it's increasingly more popular and spoken about. And on top of that, there's also the top-down approach in a way. Mm. There's the policy change and incentives given by the government, right? And beyond that, there's also institutional support provided, for example, by MAGIC, in which you support social enterprise, etc. So I guess it's the reason as to why it's becoming more popular. And if anything, I'm happy that it's becoming more popular. And it is really how we should be doing our businesses anyway.
Now, having said that, though, I mean, we know that the business landscape for Malaysia can be challenging, whether mm-hmm. or not you incorporate the social enterprise element into it. So I guess... I have a couple of questions. So firstly, what is the landscape actually like right now mm-hmm. when it comes to socially driven businesses and projects? But then also, are there challenges that are specific to this particular segment where you are simultaneously trying to do a lot of different things?
From my own experience in 2015, short experience, that I noticed we are very young compared to our neighborhood countries like Thailand, Philippines, where I think to date, maybe we have like less than 500 or maybe 300 social enterprises in Malaysia, but we only know about 100 plus of them who have actually accredited or registered with MAGIC. Mm-hmm. But and the challenges, we have lack of experience. We don't have like mentors to go to, like because compared to Thailand, there are about 120,000 social entrepreneurs in Thailand, 70,000 in Philippines, but we are still very, very young. So I think experience.
Right. If I could just quote the report led by British Council, you know, assisted by San Hasana, and then assisted by UN SCAP, yeah, called the right, the State of Social Enterprise in Malaysia. So, if anything, I'm not surprised if you, Andrew, would assume it's a certain amount. If anything, it was an estimated number by, you know, in the report, which is about 20,000, actually. But again, no surprise if why Andrew would assume as much. And if anything, with regard to the landscape, I will be quoting this data. I'm very thankful for them for coming up with this and doing the survey. Some of it would say, some of the things that would paint the landscape would be that a lot of the social enterprises are based in the Klang Valley, which is about 39% in Kuala Lumpur and 27% in Selangor, 7% in Sabah and 7% in Sarawak. And like what Anja said, again, it was quoted in the report, social enterprises are relatively young. A lot of it was created in the year 2016, and it kind of had a decline. I suppose a lot of it are in a maturing stage to some extent. And if I could just add on to the common challenges, the unique challenges, right? In the report, there is a mention of common challenges, which I would, you know, even if by not looking at the report, I would assume as much it would include things like, you know, funding and cash flow, the lack of awareness, issues with recruiting volunteers and staff, obtaining grants, lack of access to business support, etc. These are common challenges. But if I could argue a unique challenge that social enterprises are going through today, and not only them, also the other players in the third sector ecosystem, is to publicize the impact of their projects. And precisely why the second strategy of Impact Malaysia to advocate impact also includes a method for us to, ways for us to make it much easier for the players in the third sector to access this. I got carried away with it because you guys were laughing. Anyway, back to what I was saying earlier. So impact assessment definitely is a unique challenge that they're going through. And I guess that's where we come in from a government agency standpoint.
So if you have questions about starting a social enterprise, if you are currently involved in a business and you're thinking about, you know, incorporating the elements that we've been talking about, or just you have thoughts that you'd like to share, you can call us 7733-2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're going to be back to continue this conversation after the 6:30 news. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:36 in the evening with Lynn and Chuck, and in the studio with us live, Ahmed Faris, who is Chief Executive Officer at Impact Malaysia, and Anja Julia Abubakar, founder of Athena Empowers. And we're talking today about social enterprises and getting youths involved in, well, the business in Malaysia in general, but also specifically these sorts of businesses, these sorts of enterprises. If you have any questions, you can call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We have Rini on the line with us now. Rini, good evening. You have a question?
Hi, yes, I have a question. How do you begin a social enterprise? Because, as you know, English is quite new. And also, the reason to do it mostly for social, for making a social impact. And also, I have seen big companies like Asia supported this kind of social enterprise by promoting their products in magazine that you read in the flight, the Asia flight. So I think it's a good chance, and it's a good way for big companies to promote this kind of social enterprise. What do you think from impact point of view and also from the entrepreneur side?
Rini, thank you so much for your call. Ahmed, maybe you can start us off.
I think So the incentive or the inspiration should definitely come from altruism or passion, or your interest to really give back to the community. That's number one. And oftentimes, if you notice, a lot of the, Anja definitely did it because it was something that she was really passionate for, and therefore she worked on it. And in the end, she's able to help the community back. But beyond that, also quoting Anja again, there was also a bit about making profit, and there's nothing wrong with that completely. I'm all for that.
Of course,
it's really, in the end, it's all about being sustainable after all. So looking at how thriving the industry is, the ecosystem is, with the incentive given, with the tax breaks provided for companies that are sustainable, etc. I mean, I can imagine when people are following the money, you know. So again, yes. So the first one is passion, altruism, wanting to give back to the community, and the second because it's in fact profitable. Yeah.
Actually, Anja, I wanted to ask you. Mm. You said your original goal was to be filthy rich. I just wanted to know because, you know, now obviously you have the social enterprise aspect to your business. Mm-hmm. Does that give you a new sense of purpose or is the goal still, no, I need to be filthy rich?
I need to be filthy rich because, okay, but the reason I wanted to become filthy rich now has, changed. Because I was once asked if I have 1 million ringgit now, what will I do? And for me, I want to use that money to start my own foundation, but to support learning, because learning is universal. It doesn't mean it must be academic, but everyone should be given the right to learn something. If a 60-year-old nanny or grandmother want to learn playing piano or ballet, I don't know, but maybe they can come to us. I mean, just want to give back the right of learning to everyone. I mean, it won't harm anyone. And I mean, that's the main I want to become rich to, so that I can open a foundation on my own.
On that note, actually, we were, from what I understand, you've actually just been to the White House recently for a 3-week program, right? And was that also related to this passion to be able to get funding out to people?
Okay, I was actually quite surprised. It happened like very quick, like 2 weeks before travel to Washington. I was contacted by U.S. Embassy in Malaysia that they have nominated me to be part of this Women Global Development and Prosperity Initiative, which is started by the senior advisor to the president herself, Ivanka Trump. And there are only 18 of us, 17 female leaders and one male from Indonesia, with one mission to help overcoming women participating in economy. Like, only when we arrive there, it's like we have to raise a baby to that. We have to come with an action plan. So I decided to focus on allowing women access to finance, because throughout my experience working with the rural girls, we were approached by the women and how we can also help them to earn more money. And these are the women that don't have access to conventional loan. And these are the women that are very young and now they are housewives. So they are good at selling things, but they don't have saving. So now we have introduced Athena Rich, where from this program, a 1-year program, they finally managed to even buy a new car. And from zero saving, now we encourage them to save from 10 ringgit a month from after they have gained the skills. So that's all about it.
Okay, so we have another question from one of our listeners, Shai Kit. He asks regarding the ecosystem in Malaysia. It's frustrating to see a duplication of similar social projects or social enterprises. Are we looking to have a centralized database accessible to for all to form partnerships and scale up their impact together?
If I could, okay. That's a legitimate frustration, but if anything, there's nothing wrong having duplication, if you call it. I mean, after all, today, if you can see, well, there's one company selling a manufacturing laptop, and there's another one as well. If anything, it creates a competitive and healthy landscape. Even more than that, it's about the collaboration that they could. It's about working together. And if anything, so the market is much bigger than we thought. Yeah. If anything, there is a need for us to multiply numbers so that we can help more people in Malaysia. So I see nothing wrong with the duplication.
Yeah, I don't agree with that, because although it's same business and same product, but probably different beneficiaries and different reason, the purpose,
exactly
why the founders started doing the same thing.
And surely there is some form of differentiation, between one another. But beyond that, will there be a central database? they will be eventually, to some extent, Impact Malaysia is planning to do that. There are a few that I don't think I can plug. This is, you know, that we can talk about now. But beyond that, yeah, there should be. But the attempt isn't the reason, intention behind creating that database isn't to stop people from duplicating. If anything, it is to multiply in numbers and get people to collaborate with one another a lot more to coordinate the efforts in the third sector ecosystem.
Well, on that note, Shaikit also goes on to say, in terms of impact evaluation, different organizations use different framework, mm-hmm. and then that seems to make our measurements unclear.
Right.
Do we have, or are we looking to have, a standardized framework? It's something that I'm personally fighting for.
Thank you so much for that question. If anything, that is something that we're really doing now. So Impact Malaysia, through our second strategy of advocating for impact, number one, we are now trying to understand the landscape a whole lot more. If anything, there has been that great data on social enterprise, but I cannot seem to pinpoint a data on impact assessment. But if anything, it is true that there is no single method of assessing impact, and there's plenty. But if anything, now I would love to believe that the players in the ecosystem could come together and have a discussion and come up with a consensus of common indicators, at least, since all of us are working towards sustainable development goals, very much aligned with what Malaysia, our country, is doing. I'm sure there is a common indicator. So that's the first thing. We got to understand the landscape first, and I am personally promoting for this now. So look up impact.my/impact-reporting-survey. I hope I got the URL right. And secondly, the common indicator bit. And lastly is to just coordinate the effort. If I were to look into the communities, if I were to imagine communities as being an individual seeking help, there has to be a way for us to be able to help them and provide, you know, the attire fully for a person. At this point, if one social enterprise or an NGO is able to enter into an area and give out hats, another enterprise will go to a different area giving out pens. But that person, if you were to treat them as a community, will only have either one receiving hat, another one would only have a pens. But imagine if we could coordinate our efforts together. When someone is going to an area providing pens, then they can also call out other, you know, other players to come in and bring in the hat as well as shirt or shoes to make sure that the community will receive all the support that they need.
Okay, Anja, since you're here, so you have Matt right here, right? So you can ask him, how would you like to see the government offer more support for the youth and for social enterprises?
To provide more support, don't give grant.
Okay.
We have this term out there, grantpreneur, where people wants to get grant to start something. For me, if you really believe and with your own purpose, there must be ways for you to start something, because somehow if you desire to do something which is where you can visualize positive impact, because impact can be positive, can be negative.
Yeah.
And you will be attracted to people who really want to work with you. And that's how I found my two partners, co-founders, that also come with the same values. So don't worry. Don't give excuses that you don't have money. You can support in terms of capacity building, like what right. We have, like MAGIC. Now we have Impact Malaysia. So, use this platform. You need to get mentors, learn from the industry expert, not from like so-called trainers out there. There are so many trainers, but go for the real industry expert or business expert. Gain more experience and continue learning.
And I think just in closing, we have just a couple of minutes left. Are there lessons or experiences that you'd both like to share with budding social entrepreneurs or people who are thinking, listening to this, this is something I want to kickstart and get going?
Mm. Again, if you want to start something, start with find your own purpose, why you want to do things that you want to do. Relate to your own personal experience, because I believe whatever social cause that you want to do or social enterprise, the business or the entity itself will look for its entrepreneur, because it will be good. How good is the business, product or services, but if it comes without a purpose, true purpose, it will feel flat. So authenticity or genuine is very important.
Thank you both so much for joining us this evening. We've been speaking with Ahmed Faris, who is Chief Executive Officer at Impact Malaysia, and Anja Julia Abubakar, founder of Athena Empowers. You've been listening to the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.